From Nashville, Tennessee, I'm Gary Holt, along with my co-host Bobby Jean Bell, and this is the Campfire Cafe on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-o, rocking to and fro, back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-ay, I go my way, back in the saddle again. I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-o, rocking to and fro, back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-ay, I go my way, back in the saddle again.
A little Back in the Saddle Again by Gene Autry, and we're back in the saddle with Miss Bobby Bell. Good morning, Bobby.
Oh, there is nothing like starting the day with Gene Autry. Thank you for playing that, Gary.
Well, I tell you what, this is going to be kind of a Gene Autry type of day today, isn't it?
Absolutely. You cannot talk about holiday traditions and not include Mr. Autry as a major guest.
Well, that is true. I'm in the Christmas spirit. Are you getting there?
I am. I actually finally changed the wreath on the front door, and I have a light-up wreath to put in our family room and a couple other things I'm going to try to do today. And, yeah, I've got it. How about
all
you?
All right. Well, it's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas here. We're at 38 degrees right now, and it feels like 31 back here in Tennessee. So everybody is getting in the Christmas spirit, and we're just a few weeks away. But we're looking forward to a blessed Christmas season with some great Christmas traditions on Equestrian Legacy Radio all through the month of December. And we have a very special guest today. Bobby, who do we have joining us?
We do. We have a wonderful, wonderful gal, Carla Buhlman, president of Gene Autry Entertainment, a woman who I am blessed to count as a friend, knowing her for many years, and just delighted to give her an opportunity to meet our audience.
Well, we're delighted for our audience to meet Carla, and so we're going to be talking with her in just a few minutes. But we want to thank all of our sponsors, and they're great people to do some Christmas shopping with as we're into the holiday season. And those are the sponsors that you'll find in the general store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the Western and equestrian lifestyle. and our Legacy Select horse campgrounds and guest ranches. For the finest riding destinations in North America, be sure and visit our Legacy Select horse campgrounds and guest ranches, and you'll find all of those fine sponsors on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And you know, Bobby, from 1940 to 1956, all across America, people gathered around the radio to enjoy America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry, and his Melody Ranch radio show. And we're going to take people back to that time today as we come back and visit with Carla Buhlmann on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Well, howdy there, folks, and welcome to our Melody Ranch Christmas Eve party with Gene Autry.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend.
Sells and displays healthful, refreshing, delicious Doublemint chewing gum invites you to meet all the gang here at Melody Ranch. Johnny Bond, Pat Buttram, the Cass County Boys, the Pinafores, Carl Kottner, and yours truly, Charlie Lyon. But right now, here's the boss man himself, America's cowboy Santa Claus, Gene Autry.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Vixen and Blitzen and all his reindeers pulling on the reins. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. So hang your stockings and say your prayers, cause Santa Claus comes tonight. You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They wouldn't let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you'll go down in history. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Vixen and Blitzen and all his reindeers pulling on the reins. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. So jump in bed and cover your head, cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Well, Merry Christmas, folks, and welcome to our Christmas Eve party here at Melody Ranch. You know, they say there's nothing in the world as courageous as a smile. And I'm sure that goes for the Christmas spirit, too. It must be mighty catching because it's...
Ah, I'm captivated. Oh, isn't that fun? Here comes Gene Autry. Here comes Gene Autry, live on Campfire Cafe. A stride champion with a guitar on his knee, he is singing and yodeling with glee. We are texting and hashtagging and posting, announcing far and wide a brand new Christmas album with favorite songs from his radio shows. Carla Buhlmann, public cowgirl number one, knows what pleases Autry fans, and just in the nick of time, when we need some new tunes, she releases Gene Autry, A Melody Ranch Christmas. Find all your favorites here, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman, White Christmas and Jingle Bells, I Wish My Mom Would Marry Santa Claus, and my favorite, 32 Feet and 8 Little Tales. Gene croons and sings with voices you'll know, Cass County Boys and the Pinafores, Carl Kottner's Melody Ranch Orchestra with lush strings, Pat Buttram's voice you'll recognize, and Rosemary Clooney sings. Spin this album for holiday cheer on your iPad through your headset while traveling far and near. Originally heard on the radio, the songs will be fresh to your ears and a new holiday tradition to last through the years. Now grab your coffee mug, pull your chair up to the campfire, turn up your volume, and welcome today's special guests, Gene Autry and Carla Buhlman.
Oh, thank you, Bobby. That is the best introduction I have ever had. Thank you so much.
Oh, Carla, it's so great to have you. I was so captivated by the opening that I totally forgot we were on the air.
Well, one thing that was pretty special about that track, it's the only time that we've got Gene Autry singing Here Comes Santa Claus and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in a medley, and that was from his Christmas Eve broadcast from 1949 when he had just introduced that year Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So it was a really special performance for fans who had dialed into the CBS radio network and they were hearing Gene sing Here Comes Santa Claus, but then he goes right into Rudolph. So it was pretty fun back then, and it's nice to know it's pretty fun today.
It was. I was at that moment thinking about everybody gathering around the radio, which, of course,
yes.
Online radio, we sort of do the same thing. You know, we're gathered around it. And I truly was lost in the moment.
Well, I think that's okay. I talk about when I play Gene Autry's movies at the museum or when I present music, I take people in a time-traveling adventure, and it's really an opportunity to experience what the entertainment world was like back in the 1930s or 40s or 50s. It was different. I think back then, folks were a little more focused. We've got so much going on today that I hope when people put on this new CD that they can have a moment to unplug everything else and just be in the moment of radio and music and kind of have this wonderful transportation to the past.
Gary, I'm sure you'd like to get in here and say something to Carla.
Well, I'm enjoying the conversation. And by the way, Bobby, you outdid yourself with that introduction. Yeah, the last couple of weeks you put everything to rhyme, and you're just you may be up for Cowboy Poet of the Year next year with the WMA.
Oh. There you go. I'll vote for that.
There you are. But anyway, I'm kind of curious, Carla, as we get started into this. There are great clips from the radio shows between 1940 and 56, but before we get into that, tell us a little bit about how you got involved with the Autry organization.
Well, sure. My official title is that I am the president of Gene Autry Entertainment. And that's just a really fancy way to say that I get to play with all of Gene Autry's toys. I oversee all of his intellectual properties. So that's music publishing, that's recordings, that's motion pictures, television programs, his name, his likeness. And then today, of course, that means a website, a YouTube channel, Facebook page. And I've been working for Gene Autry's companies for 28 years. I actually started working PR with his radio stations, where I did work with Pat Buttram, who was on the Robert W. Morgan show on KMPC, which is a radio station that was owned by Gene Autry. And through the course of a couple of different things, I ended up in Mr. Autry's office. So I did work with Gene Autry during his lifetime in preserving and promoting and protecting his whole entertainment career. So what that's led me to do is to meet so many of Gene Autry's fans. I like to call his fans, we've got the original fans, people who were in the movie theater in 1939. Then we've got the next generation of fans, folks who discovered Gene Autry in television in the 1950s. Mm-hmm. And then today, a new generation of fans who might watch a Gene Autry DVD with a restored movie and a radio show on it, or might run across our YouTube channel and have a playlist of leading lady songs that they listen to. It's really quite a bit of fun. And Gene was not only a hugely popular entertainer, he was a brilliant businessman. And because he was savvy enough to own everything he worked on and to own radio stations and TV stations, he's created an environment that today one office can promote and deal with all of his amazing work. So that's pretty amazing.
That is amazing. That is amazing. And there are a lot of people in the entertainment business today that wish they owned their own intellectual property.
Right. And he kind of set the standard for that. So that entertainers realized, I should own my publishing. I should own my masters. Yeah, I should control how my likeness is. You bet.
Yeah, he was well ahead of his time.
You also have a special relationship with the museum, and you mentioned the museum in the beginning. Why don't you just tell us briefly a little bit about the Autry Museum?
Sure. Back in 1988, Gene Autry opened up at the time it was the Gene Autry Western Heritage Museum. Gene had collected many things over the times about the American West, both the historic West and the mythic West, which he's part of with his entertainment world. And he had this horrible fire at his movie studio at Melody Ranch. It just went through Santa Clarita Canyon and destroyed much of his collection, which made him realize he needed to open a museum. So here in Los Angeles, in Griffith Park, across from the Los Angeles Zoo, they opened this beautiful museum dedicated to the history of the American West. And so for the last 30 or so years, there's been wonderful exhibits. It's not about just Gene. It's about everything you can think of from the West, stagecoach exhibits. There's been a surfboard exhibit because that's part of the West.
And baseball, and artwork,
all kinds of great things. And so every year I co-curate a cameo exhibit on Gene Autry's life. Right now there's one up about toys and merchandising. I also work with the Gene Autry case of helping to change out artifacts in there. I lecture about 3 times a year on Gene Autry. There's a Gene Autry double feature movie shown every other month. And on December 1st, I just worked with SAG-AFTRA, where they did a live reenactment of 2 Gene Autry Melody Ranch radio shows that I selected for them. And I lectured beforehand, and we had these wonderful actors perform in front of an audience of over 200 people. How it was to do radio live. So it's quite fun to work with Gene's museum.
Well, it was always a delight.
Well, you have just led us into another of the clips from the radio program, particularly when you mentioned December 1st. And we're going to go right now to a Christmas medley. And let's take a listen to that and come back and talk more with Carl in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
While the merry bells keep ringing, may your every wish come true.
Happy holiday,
happy holiday,
happy holiday,
happy holiday.
May the calendar keep bringing happy holidays to you.
Christmas Eve will find me
there, boys and girls. Yes, sir. That was so good, that lady down there didn't even stop knitting. She just kept right on going.
Say, Mr. Artery,
yeah?
is it true that starting Christmas night, we're going to be holding our Melody Ranch get-togethers on Saturday instead of Sunday?
Yes, that's right, Pat. Starting December the 25th, Christmas night, and every Saturday night thereafter, folks, all over the country, we'll run home, turn on those little knobs, then you know what'll happen?
Yeah, they take a bath.
Oh. No. They'll hear us on the radio.
Well, what do you know? What time?
Well, now, here's the setup. Johnny, let's see here. We'll be heard at 8 o'clock in the east.
Got it.
7 o'clock in the Middle West. 6 o'clock Mountain States. 6 o'clock Pacific States over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
We're a little late, folks. Good night.
No, look, folks, seriously, don't let these boys confuse you. We'll be heard on Saturday nights from now on, it's true, and over CBS. But just to be sure, why don't you check your local newspaper for our new time?
We are listening to, that was a Christmas medley from a new CD of Gene Autry's holiday music called A Melody Ranch Christmas with our guest Carla Buhlman, the inspiration behind this CD. Carla, in the first medley, we had a couple of Gene's probably most famous. We had Here Comes Santa Claus Rudolph. Could you share, they both have such fun backstories. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. Well, what's real fun about Here Comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane, is it was released in 1947. And Gene Autry, when he'd returned from the war, he was in the Army Air Corps, and when he returned to the war and got back into being Gene Autry, the movie star and popular icon, he was in the 1946 Santa Claus Lane Parade here in Hollywood, California. And when he would go down Hollywood Boulevard, he was so popular, he and Champion were just before Santa Claus. And the children would be shouting, "Here comes Santa Claus! Here comes Santa Claus!" And with that clippity-clop of Champion's hooves and the children shouting, Gene Autry and Oakley Haldeman quickly whipped up the song, "Here Comes Santa Claus," right down Santa Claus Lane. And so that was released in 1947, and it became wildly popular. So Gene Autry started looking for other Christmas-type songs that were new to record. And he was approached by, he didn't write Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Many people think he wrote it, but he did not. And that was Michael Marks who wrote it. And Gene Autry was given that song, and he wasn't quite sure that he wanted to record it, but his wife, Ina May, really liked the story behind it. It reminded her of the Ugly Duckling. So Gene went into the studio and recorded that song in 1949, and it became a huge hit. So Gene Autry had now transitioned from being this wonderful Western music star to being this Christmas cowboy, where he was now being recording Christmas songs every year to add more of those wonderful tunes to the public. And it's so much fun, and it's amazing to think of the popularity of those songs now some 60 years later. So that's just wonderful that people still enjoy it today.
Well, it's too fun. I was in a local department store the other day, of course, listening to the soundtrack, and I think I heard Frosty, the Snowman, mm-hmm. Here Comes Santa Claus, Rudolph, and at least one other song, I think.
Maybe
and,
Up on the Housetop. That's
yeah,
also a popular
been.
One. Mm-hmm. Up on the Housetop.
Yep. And I thought, you know, here we are in what year are we in? 2016?
2016, yep.
And, you know, here this, people may not necessarily realize they're listening to Gene, but here he is, you know, in our sound book of holiday music, even when we're out and about, you know.
Right, and what's so fun is most of the music that we hear on the radio or in department stores were records that were released by these artists. And with this particular CD, this album and collection we have, it's music that people grew up with in the 1940s and 50s of Gene Autry, and that was their soundtrack as they would tune in and they would expect Gene to sing certain songs. So like that Christmas medley we just heard that had the Cass County Boys and the Pinafores and Carl Cotner's wonderful orchestration, that tune would show up every year during holiday time, and you couldn't go out to the record store and get it on your 78 record. You had to listen to it live on the radio, and it's just so much fun to now have these treasures on a CD or if you download it digitally, have it with you on your iPad or your phone. It's just amazing that we can have these experiences and enjoy them and get in the holiday mood, you know?
Yeah, yeah. How were these... these were masters. How was it preserved? How were you, how were you
well,
able to get
when
this
Gene
material?
Autry did the radio shows live, most of them were done here in Hollywood from the KNX station, the CBS station here, and they had these giant records, these lacquer discs. They're called transcription discs. And as they did the show live, the recordings were captured on these transcription discs. And Gene Autry, he was a pack rat, and what wasn't destroyed in the fire was saved, and there were over 700 radio shows of Gene Autry's. 700 shows. And each show had a couple of these lacquer discs that made up the show. Spent the last 20 years confirming all these shows and transferring them to digital audio tape. And then from digital audio tape, they're cleaned up through Sonic Solutions. We have this wonderful engineer, Bob Fisher. Bob has probably heard all of Gene Autry's career. The only other person who's heard as much would be the man himself, Gene Autry. But Bob has done our audio restoration for movies, for the television shows, and for the radio shows. So we have this wonderful archive. And when we started our YouTube channel about 2 years ago, last year I decided to take the best Christmas songs and put them as clips on our YouTube channel, which is Gene Autry Official. And I would listen to 12 performances of Silent Night, or I would listen to, you know, all the performances of He'll Be Coming Down the Chimney, and we would find the best performance and put that as a clip. And through all this restoration, we decided, well, we've got to make a Christmas CD. This is going to be great. And it was so much fun this fall to figure out how we're going to fit all this onto a CD. And it's truly amazing that something – if you imagine all these 700 records in a warehouse, and then you put them all to digital audio tapes, which would take up trays and trays of tapes, and then you imagine it fits onto your iPad. The way technology has – I couldn't have done this 20 years ago. I can only do it today as technology has progressed, which has been just a treasure. It's been fantastic.
Gary, do you want to play something, or do you have a question?
Well, I want to play something, and then I have a question when we come back. And this is
sure.
I will ask this question real quickly.
Sure.
With all the shows, and he had the weekly radio shows,
right?
That he did. Was Christmas the Christmas season his favorite time of the year for the radio shows?
Well, Christmas season definitely had its own personality and flavor. Now, you got to remember, Gene was actually introducing Christmas songs when he had a new song as early as October. So when everybody's complaining that today Christmas music comes too soon, oh no, Gene was debuting tracks in October and November. Before you'd even thought about Thanksgiving dinner, the jack-o'-lantern was still fresh on your front porch. He was playing Christmas tunes. Throughout December, there would be Christmas references and comedy routines. The radio show is made up of music and comedy and a drama. And the week of Christmas would be the Melody Ranch Christmas Party show, which was special. And I do think it had it was special to the Cass County Boys, Pat Buttram. And earlier on when Smiley Burnett was on some of the radio shows and before the Cass County Boys were on the radio shows, Christmas was there. But otherwise, it would be maybe Father's Day to sing Father's Day tunes like that silver-haired daddy of mine.
Christmas
definitely stood out for Gene, and of course then for Gene's fans.
Right, right. Well, we're going to go to Christmas Carol by the Old Corral. And do you know what year this was?
Great. Let me see if I can think of that real fast because I don't have them all memorized. Hold on. I'm looking for it. We've got Christmas Carols by the Old Corral is from 1945. So this would be when Gene Autry had just returned from serving in World War II. And it's actually very special because you can't get this from – he never released it with Columbia Records. So this is really special to have it on this collection.
All right. Well, let's take a listen to Christmas Carol by the Old Corral and come back and talk more with Carla in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
There'll be singing, gonna be singing Christmas carols by the Old Corral. celebrating, congregating, and exchanging greetings by the old corral. There'll be lots of little children, and how big their eyes will be when they see what Santa left around the tree. They'll be merry, singing those merry Christmas carols by the old corral. They'll be singing, gonna be singing Christmas carols by the old corral. Celebrating, congregating, and exchanging greetings by the old corral. Every tender little tenderfoot will sure enjoy it so, watching sweethearts kiss beneath the mistletoe. How they'll thrill you, singing familiar Christmas carols by the old corral.
Thank you very much, Lou, and thank you, folks, and welcome to our Melody Ranch Christmas party. Well, we're all just sitting around the fire singing a few Christmas songs and having a little bit of fun, and a little later on, we're going to tell a Christmas story that we hope you'll like. But right now, suppose we start off on a happy note with Jingle, Jangle, Jingle Bells, huh?
Well, you can get the feel from the music as it started that this was from the mid-40s.
Right, and what's really great about this is it's live. They had one rehearsal, and then they were in a stage setting with a live studio audience going broadcast live over the CBS radio network from coast to coast, and that richness and fullness of live orchestration, live singing, and live backup, it really stands out when you listen to it.
Yes, it's so fun to hear that orchestration, yeah. The live orchestration is wonderful.
And in this instance, Gene had just come back from World War II, and to get back onto the radio network, they only had a 15-minute time slot for him. His show previously had been 30 minutes. So he was making this transition back in. He had Paul Sells' orchestra when he first came back. Carl Kottner was also in the service, and he wasn't quite yet back, but would return eventually with Gene. But the Cass County boys, who Gene had met during his time in the service at World War II, were now Gene's backing band. This wonderful trio would join Gene on the radio and his Columbia Records, and then be in his movies and in the television shows, and of course tour all across the United States and Canada. And it's just, you have that idea, you get that sense of how exciting it must have been to sit down in front of your radio and have your hero Gene Autry singing live just for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now,
when you and I were talking the other day, Carla, it was interesting to me, because during this period of time, not only was Gene doing the radio program, but he was touring. He was still doing movies, and he was still doing TV shows. But talk to us a little bit about that process.
Well, sure. So the radio show got into full swing in the 1940s. So if we just take the year 1940, Gene Autry was doing a weekly radio show. So that's 52 radio shows. Then he was making six to eight motion pictures with Republic Pictures. Then he was going in the studio. It could have been in Hollywood, could have been in Chicago, could have been in New York. And he was doing recording sessions of doing 8 to 10 tracks a year. And then he would do a tour where he'd do 40 cities in 40 days, maybe on the East Coast. And then that would be like in the February, March. And then he'd do another swing of another 40 cities later on in the year. I mean, the man was everywhere. He was nonstop. And you as the fan could be wearing your Gene Autry blue jeans. You could be reading your Gene Autry comic book. You could have your Gene Autry cap pistol. And you could go see Gene in the theater. It was right there. But then comes along 1950. And now Gene Autry is making original content of the Gene Autry Show television series. So you as the fan could tune in and watch him on your television or your neighbor's TV, as the case might have been, listen to him on the radio, maybe see him in town and actually get to pet Champion, then, of course, go buy the records. It's just amazing. The man had synergy before that word even existed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was omni-channel. He was omni-channel before we knew what that was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He was on every kind
multi-platform.
Of
multi-platform, yes.
Yeah, every platform. And, of course, he has more stars on the Hollywood Walk of Stars, I believe, still than anybody else.
That is such a fun fact. Now, the Hollywood Walk of Fame here in Hollywood, California, has five categories for their stars. It's for radio, records, motion picture, television, and live performance. And Gene Autry is, in fact, the only entertainer to have all five. He has the live performance for all of his rodeo work, the USO shows he did in the South Pacific, and all of his personal appearance tours. Now, I believe Quincy Jones has four of those stars, and I believe there's one other entertainer who also has four. But Gene does hold the distinction of the only entertainer to have all five.
That is so cool.
We love that.
Well, he mentioned in the closing of that last little clip that we did that we were going to do something fun. And so we're going to do something fun, but we're not doing Jingle Bells right now. Let's take a listen to Frosty the Snowman, one of my favorites, and my grandchildren's. And so let's take a listen to that and come back and talk more in just a moment.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and his eyes made out of coal. Frosty the Snowman made the children laugh and play. Were they surprised when before their eyes he came to life that day? There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found, for when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around. Oh, Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be, and the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me. Frosty the Snowman knew the sun was hot that day, so he said, let's run and we'll have fun before I melt away. So down to the village with a broomstick in his hand, running here and there all around the square, saying, catch me if you can. He led them down the streets of town right to the traffic cop, and he only paused a moment when he heard them holler stop. For Frosty the Snowman had to hurry on his way, but he waved goodbye, saying, don't you cry, I'll be back again someday. Thumpity thump, thump, thumpity thump, thump, look at Frosty go. Thumpity thump, thump, thumpity thump, thump, over the hills of snow.
Well, folks, here's a new song. You know, about 3 years ago, we brought out a little tune called Here Comes Santa Claus. And then we had a little ditty that you must have liked because we sold about 3.5 million records of it. Rudolph, the Red-Nosed Reindeer. This year, here's our contribution to Christmas, and we think you'll be hearing an awful lot of it in the next 8 weeks. 32 feet and 8 little tails of white.
Now that is a teaser, because they're going to have to get the CD to hear that, and we're not going to do that one today. You know, I was just wondering, Carla, with all the movies that Gene did recently, and I love to watch the old westerns on TV. I recently watched a Roy Rogers Christmas movie that was done, and even caught an old Gunsmoke episode that was a Christmas movie as well. Did Gene do any Christmas movies?
Well, the only movie that has a kind of Christmas theme is The Cowboy and the Indians. And that's a movie where Gene does perform Here Comes Santa Claus. And I believe they also sing, the children in the movie sing Silent Night. And it's really, he didn't really weave the song so much into the storylines. Now, Gene's movies, just like those radio shows, are full of music, comedy, and action. So you have to figure out a logical way to bring in songs from time to time. But The Cowboy and the Indians, what's fun about that is it is available on DVD, but we show it at the Autry Museum every December because Gene Autry does sing Here Comes Santa Claus in it. And it's a really sweet little movie.
Well, he had so many great movies. Yeah, go ahead, Bobby.
Well, he was a star of 89 movies, which is amazing.
Did he ever sleep, Carla?
You know, it's funny. Some folks have asked me, because I actually did work with Mr. Autry in the later years of his life, and people asked, what was he like? And I said, well, he was very much like the man you saw in the movies or on the TV show. He was constantly in motion, and I just don't think he had time to be anything else but what he really was.
Yeah.
And his co-stars have talked about when they were making movies with him, when they, you know, remember, they'd shoot these films in like 6 or 8 days. And so when there was a moment of downtime, Gene Autry would be on whatever telephone was available conducting business and doing deals. He read every newspaper. He had a subscription here when he lived in Studio City to both local papers at the time, to the Wall Street Journal, and then when he, and to Variety and the Hollywood Reporter, but when he would tour and he'd go into different towns, he would read those newspapers front to back so he understood the folks in that town. He would read the want ads. He would read the for sales. He would read the local stories. He'd be looking at what was being advertised to really get a sense of who those folks were. It's just, he was a man in motion. It was pretty amazing.
Now, can you verify that he was working in a telegraph office and had an important conversation with Will Rogers? Is that true?
Well, you know, the legend has it, and I like legends, I do, that when Gene was working for the railroad in Oklahoma, he was a telegraph operator, and Will Rogers had come into the station to send his column. Will Rogers was a very, very good humorist, and he would have to submit his column for the newspaper publications, and when he had entered into the place to go to the telegraph office, Gene was playing his guitar, and he encouraged Gene to go to New York, because at the time, that's what you did. You went to New York to pursue his singing career. And while I haven't talked to Will Rogers, and I did not have the opportunity to ask Gene Autry personally, that kind of falls true to me. I think he did get that inspiration. Sometimes you need that mentor. You need someone to verify what you're doing is the right thing and to go for it and to pursue that dream.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that story. let's see, Gary, where do you want to go next?
Well, I want to talk just a little bit about some of the types of guests that he had on the show, and we're going to kind of lead into, which is just a hilarious piece that Pat Buttram did. Did you ever have to sleep at the foot of the bed? But what type of guest would he have on his show?
Well, the structure of the radio show was that Gene was welcoming you to his Melody Ranch, and folks who lived around there would stop by, and from in the early years, so the early 1940s, pre-war, it would be a couple of different trios that would back them. They'd have maybe a lady singer who would sing something, and then Smiley Burnett was on several shows doing some comedy. Then once Gene was in the war, he had Sergeant Gene Autry, and so he would have the Cass County Boys as his musical guest. But then post-war, he had his recording artist compadre, I guess you could say, Rosemary Clooney, who was also a Columbia Records artist, had joined him on one or two shows. And because Gene and Rosemary did a record together, which was really fun. But by and large, it was pretty much the same folks that you would want to welcome into your home through the radio that visited every day to sing songs and have some comedy. And this particular track is very fun because Pat Buttram has a little bit of jealousy going on with Gene's special guest.
Well, let's take a listen to this. Folks are going to love this. This is, did you ever have to sleep at the foot of the bed?
Did you ever have to sleep at the foot of the bed when the weather was whizzing cold and the wind is whistling around the house and the moon is yeller as gold? Just to give you nice warm feathers up to Aunt Lizzie or Uncle Fred, there's too many kinfolks on a raw, bad night and you're sent to the foot of the bed. For some darn reason, the coldest night of the season, and you went to the foot of the bed. Now, I could always wait till the old folks ate, and then eat the leavings with grace. Or the teacher could keep me in after school, I'd still keep a smile on my face. I could wear the big boy's wore-out clothes, or let sister have my sled, but it always did get my nanny goat to have to sleep at the foot of the bed. There ain't no location the top side of creation that I hate like the foot of the bed. Oh, it is fine enough when the kin folks come. All the kids brought brand new games. You could see how fat all the old folks was and learn all the babies' names. You got biscuits and chicken and custard pie. You always got Sunday fed. But you know darn well when night come on, you was headed for the foot of the bed. You couldn't get by it, there's no use to try it. You was bound for the foot of the bed. You know, they tell me, there's some folks that don't know what it is, to have company all over the place, to have to wrestle for cover through a long winter night with a big foot a-setting in your face, or with cold toenails a-scratching your back, or a footboard scrubbing your head. I'll tell the whole wide world you ain't missed a thing, never sleeping at the foot of the bed. You can live just as gladly and die just as sadly and never sleep at the foot of the bed. Now, I've done it, and I've done it a many of a time in this land of the brave and the free. And in this all-fired battle of life, it's done left its mark upon me, for I'm always a-struggling around at the foot instead of forging ahead. And I don't think it's caused by a dad burn thing, but sleeping at the foot of the bed.
Russell, it won't be long now, kids, before all over the world, all of the kids will be anxiously awaiting a visit from the little fat man with the long white beard. So look, boys and girls, take my advice. When the jolly old man with his bag of toys and his beard of snowy white stops at your house to make your Christmas bright, don't look out the window and don't wait by the door. He'll be coming down the chimney like he always did before. When you hear his sleigh bells, don't look front or back. He'll be coming down the chimney with a sack upon his back. If you wrote your letter to Santa and you're good, you'll find your stockings all filled up with the things you hoped you would. So don't look out the window and don't wait by the door. He'll be coming down the chimney. Yes, by gosh, by Jiminy, he'll be coming down the chimney like he always did before. If you wrote your letter to Santa and you're good, you'll find your stockings all filled up with the things you hoped you would.
So don't look out the window and don't wait by the door. He'll be coming down the chimney.
Yes, by gosh, by Jiminy,
he'll be coming down the chimney like he always did before.
Bobby, we may have to start doing these shows live in the studio and bring an audience in.
That would be fun.
Oh, that is so fun.
We'd have to meet somewhere between California and Nashville, I guess, to do that. But
yeah. Carla, how did Gene and Pat Buttram meet?
You know, that is a really good question, and it must have been through the WLS radio show back in very early on, because they had this wonderful relationship. Even up until their last days, they were best friends, going out together to the Sportsman's Lodge to have lunch or breakfast. And when Pat was on the radio in the late 1980s on KMPC, he was still the sharpest wit in Hollywood. It would be pretty funny. He would be on with Robert W. Morgan on like on a Tuesday morning doing some real good contemporary funny jokes, and then on Wednesday morning, the rock station morning DJs had stolen all his stuff because he was just too funny. He was very contemporary, but he still had that terrific folksy humor. And what's so much fun for me is when I'm trying to explain who Gene Autry's friend is to younger folks, I say, do you know who the Sheriff of Nottingham is in Disney's Robin Hood? And they'll say, yeah. We'll say, well, that's Pat Buttram. So he was able to have this broad audience of really wonderful fans from Gene Autry things, but he also has these Disney fans and Green Acres. It's just been, it's really sweet.
That's just too fun. He was surrounded by, you know, such terrific entertainers. Did he like to entertain? Did he and Ina like to entertain?
Well, they had a home here that they built in 1940 in Studio City that I joke is built like a Oklahoman, because it had super thick walls and a basement, and you don't find basements in houses in Southern California. And it had just a beautiful patio and a wonderful swimming pool. And we do have photos of when he would host like a holiday party for his coworkers in the movies or his touring companies. And they would just, we have such fantastic weather in Southern California that you have these wonderful outdoor get-togethers, of course, with live music, and just so much fun.
Yeah. Gary, what would you like to ask?
Well, I want to go to some traditional music right now. I want to do a couple of numbers from the radio show, Joy to the World, and then Oh, Little Town of Bethlehem. So we're going to play both of those together because they kind of come that way on the CD for the radio program. But we want people to stay with us because you mentioned Rosemary Clooney, and we're going to be playing a number with Rosemary that he did that you don't want to miss. And also, I think something that's kind of special that we're going to get to, and that's his version of White Christmas. But let's take a listen to Joy to the World, and then we'll come back and talk more with Carla and find out more about this amazing man who was America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe, heard around the world, streaming live, online, and on demand at equestrianlegacy.net.
That was mighty, mighty pretty, and thanks a lot.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy silent stars go by, yet in thy dark streets shine the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight.
Oh, holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and hinder, and reborn in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell.
That was beautiful, Gene. You know, somehow or other, you just can't beat our Christmas carols. There's no more beautiful music in all the world.
Yes, that's right, Lou. I think music like that is one of the reasons that Christmas is such a happy occasion.
Sort of makes you feel good all over.
Well, it's music that's been beautiful for hundreds of years, and it always will be as long as there are folks to sing it.
That's for sure.
Yes, sir. Songs like O Little Town of Bethlehem and other Christmas carols have a way of making us forget all the bad things in the world and help us to remember all the good things.
You know, that's a mighty nice thought there, boss.
That is a mighty nice thought there, boss. That was that was great. Hey, Carla, talk to us a little bit about who is performing with him on this. Tell me about the Pinafores. What can you tell us about the Pinafores?
Well, the Pinafores was a trio of gals that really added a richness to the sound of the Melody Ranch radio show. We had the Cass County Boys with Gene, and then the style of this time period, so it's the late, it's, you know, post-war 1940s, that they would have this richer sound when they had the girls with them. And sometimes they would have just the Cass County Boys and the Pinafores sing a number together on the radio show, or on occasion, just the Pinafores would sing something, or just the Cass County Boys would sing something. They did tour with Gene as well, and I believe the Pinafores are only in one film with Gene. But they just add that depth that just really makes the sound pop. It's really fantastic.
Was
well,
there a musical director? Sorry. Was there a musical director for the show, or
primarily,
you know, really mastermind?
Yeah. It was Carl Kottner, and Carl Kottner worked on Gene Autry's tours, worked on the radio show, and also Gene's Columbia Records. He was the one doing the orchestration and the direction, and for many, many years.
Got it. So Gene would just kind of report for duty like everybody else, and Carl would kind of tell everybody what they were doing, or?
I'm pretty sure that's the way it went. You know, Gene was very good throughout his career, whether it was the movies or radio stations or baseball teams, that he would hire the best person to do the job and let that person do the job, which is pretty amazing. The guy had no time to micromanage, so you better knew what you were doing.
Yeah, amazing. Just an amazing fellow. There isn't really anybody like him in our world today, is there?
You know, there's not. There's definitely artists who are reaching their fan base and connecting like Gene connected with his fans through today's media like Instagram and Twitter and all of that. But in terms of that tour, of being there to perform live, Not many fans have that experience with their stars. Now, you know, someone like Lady Gaga, she's going all around and doing a dive bar tour right now, so she can have a more intimate concert experience because she's been doing stadiums. But I don't know if she's doing 40 cities in 40 days. It was just a real unique time.
Yeah.
Well, from the 50s, he did a song called Look Out the Window with Rosemary Clooney. And did they do an album together, or did they just do some singles?
They did one or two tracks together, and that was it. Gene primarily was a standalone artist in terms of releasing records. I think, I don't have the documentation to back it up, but I have a feeling that in the 50s, you know, music is changing a little bit in flavor, and Gene's following that trend by making some children's recordings for his audience who are now parents. And so this song, Look Out the Window, is sort of directed to that younger audience. And if you're going to do a duet, well, gosh, there's no better voice than Rosemary Clooney.
Well, let's take a listen to Look Out the Window and come back and talk more with Carla in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
Thank you, folks. Thank you. I'm glad you like it.
Look out the window, look out the window, see the snowflakes fall. Look out the window, look out the window, winter's come to call. Children singing, sleigh bells ringing as they glide along. Look out the window, look out the window, singing the winter song.
Out there where the snowman stands on the icy lawn,
children run to shake his hands, for when the sun shines, he'll be gone.
Hurry, hurry, see the flurry, winter won't last long. Look out the window, look out the window, singing the winter song.
Voices shout,
oh goodness, what an outing.
It's winter again.
See the snowflakes falling,
winter sports are calling.
It's winter time again. Look out the window, look out the window, see the snowflakes fall. Look out the window, look out the window, winter's come to call. Children singing, sleigh bells ringing as they glide along. Look out the window, singing the winter song.
Out there where the snowman stands on the icy lawn,
children run to shake his hands, for when the sun shines, he'll be gone.
Hurry, hurry, see the flurry, winter won't last long. Look out the window, singing the winter song. Look out the window, singing the winter song.
Well, sir, if what my spies tell me is true, this next song looks like it's headed right for the top. Incidentally, I just happen to have made a Columbia record of it, too, which, when played, sounds exactly like this. Carl?
There's another teaser.
And Gene sure was good at promoting his product, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
He was great.
There was another CD that, Carla, that you worked on a few years ago that was called Year Round Cowboy?
Yep, Year Round Cowboy, yep.
And he had, we think of him always with the seasonal songs, but he, holiday songs, but he had songs for every season.
Well, he sure did. He had songs from his radio show that were perfect for Father's Day or for summertime. And then with Columbia Records, he released six different Easter songs. Now, you're probably familiar with Peter Cottontail, but he had several others. And he had two Thanksgiving songs that were really fun. And So we worked with Columbia, which is now Sony, to get those out on a special collection, Year Round Cowboy. And it's kind of fun how there's a song for every season and a song for every holiday, and Gene Autry's probably sung it.
And there was, I think, one even for Tax
yes,
Day, wasn't
yes,
there?
Yes, on the radio show. He did this song once. And only once, written by Irving Berlin, I paid my income tax today. I think it was an effort to encourage others to do the same. That's pre-war. But yeah, that's you didn't know there was a song for the tax man, did you?
No, not until I had got that CD. No, I did not. I did not know.
we'll have to get
that. Yeah, make sure you get that, yeah.
When I know that you have a lot of connections with the fan base, is there a song that was heavily requested that hadn't been on any recordings that you got onto a recording?
Well, those children's songs were really important. There's one particular Christmas song called Poppy the Puppy. Now, Gene never performed that on his radio show, and it's not in any of his movies, and it was a Columbia Records release, and I do recall getting a phone call from a fan, and she was just crying on the phone because she had broken her 78 record, and she couldn't play that song for her kids. And it took me a while because I had to work. He didn't own those Columbia Masters, so it took a while to get them. And we did put it on a collection. We have a CD called The Complete Columbia Christmas Recordings. So that has 27 tracks. So it has the original Here Comes Santa Claus version on it, and then it has the 1953 version of Here Comes Santa Claus. But it's songs like that that people really want to hear. And before that, it was people wanted to hear songs from the movies. So when I restored all the movies, we then got them out on video, and then when DVD came out, we got them all out on DVD. So that's been a real gratifying thing to be able to have folks experience and hear a song once again. We're so used to, if you want to hear something, jump on the computer and find it. But believe it or not, there was a time period where you couldn't do that.
Not that long ago. There is a song that we talked about the other day, and we're going to kind of finish our conversation with you in just a few minutes, because we've kept you longer than I promised we would. So thanks for staying with us.
But there's lots to share on Gene, yes.
There is. But this is a song from November of 1942 called White Christmas. And what can you tell us about this and how you...
Well, what's real interesting in working with Gene Autry's career, I would have documents that would say, here's everything he did for Columbia Records. I'd have other documents that say, here are all the songs from the movies. And when we started restoring the radio shows, we didn't have a database. So we started compiling this database. And diving into it and doing research and figuring things out, I discovered, oh my gosh, Gene Autry sang White Christmas. He did not record that for Columbia Records. It didn't show up in a live performance on a television show in the 50s. But it's something that was sincerely special to him because he sang it every year starting in 1942. Now, if my facts are right, that's the year that Bing Crosby introduced White Christmas, and it was a huge hit. And Gene and Bing Crosby were actually recording peers. Over a period of time, Gene would record songs that Bing did, and Bing would record songs like Gene did, like South of the Border. And I have a feeling that song was really special because when Gene sings White Christmas, doesn't matter if it's 42, 43, 51, 55, when he sings that song, there's something special in his voice that he really cares about this song. And so when I realized, oh my gosh, White Christmas was definitely part of Gene Autry's history, and if you were a fan growing up and listening every week to Gene Autry and every Christmas time starting in 42, you would expect sometime in the month of December for Gene to sing this song, White Christmas. It was part of your tradition. It was part of your musical history. That's what kind of drove me to do this particular CD. How do I get White Christmas on a CD? Well, I just do amazing and special songs from A Melody Ranch Christmas. And I'm really excited for this. So when folks listen to White Christmas, think about it being 1942. Think about Bing Crosby having the song out as being popular. And think about your favorite cowboy star now singing this song. And it really takes on a special sound.
Well, from November the 8th, 1942, this is Gene Autry singing White Christmas. This is December the 8th, 2016, and you're listening to the Campfire Cafe, and we're traveling back in time and enjoying Melody Ranch Christmases.
Really caught on at Melody Ranch, where fun and enjoyment are the order of the day.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells ringing in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
Thank you, fellas.
Say, Gene, even though it's a few days early, how about making us a present right now of a good Christmas cowboy song, huh?
Well, I've got just the number for you, Lou. Christmas, cowboys, and all in one song, and it's mighty pretty. It's called Christmas Carols by the Old Corral.
Well, he blessed us with that one already, so we'll not be listening to that again. But anyway, Bobby?
So, Carlo, why don't you tell us how our audience can learn more? Where should they go for the website,
well,
YouTube, and all that?
Out there, out in the World Wide Web, we've made sure that you can find Gene Autry. And one of the first places you want to go is to the official Gene Autry website, which is www.geneautry.com. From there, you can connect to all our other great things. If you want to buy this CD, which is Gene Autry, A Melody Ranch Christmas, from Verez Saraband Records, there's a link on our homepage. You can click to it, and it'll take you through to the Autry Museum store, where you can purchase it there. You can also purchase it through Amazon, through iTunes. Of course, with iTunes, you don't get the fabulous booklet that has wonderful photos and fabulous liner notes written by me.
Yeah.
But you can do that. And if you also want to visit us on YouTube, you want to search for Gene Autry Official. We have over 200 clips of Gene Autry singing from his Melody Ranch radio show, but from his movies. We've also created playlists, so you can just click and hear all these wonderful songs from the Cass County Boys. You can hear even more Christmas songs, like Here Comes Santa Claus from his movie, The Cowboy and the Indians. Or you can hear songs just from the 1940s or songs just from the 1950s. There's hours of wonderful listening on our YouTube channel. And just this month, we joined the world of Facebook. So you want to look for us as we're under Gene Autry Official. I'm working on getting that verified check, but it's us. You'll know you're there. You'll see Gene's smiling face. You'll see some other information on Gene. We got a huge list on there of all of Gene's honors. The other really wonderful thing about the website, if you want to know more about Gene Autry when he was in the service, you can read a whole page on that. If you want to know more about Here Comes Santa Claus and see some fun pictures from the Hollywood Christmas Parade way back in the 40s, we've got a section on that. We've got a section on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And, of course, if you want to know about his movies, you can read about each film. And there's just tons and tons of information on GeneAutry.com. So I hope you'll visit us that way. And then if you're ever in Los Angeles, you want to come to the Autry Museum of the American West. There's a case on Gene, and there's usually another seasonal special cameo case. But the rest of the museum, it's all about what Gene Autry loves so much about the West, the historic West and the mythic West.
Well, there is a wealth of information. We're so grateful that you and the team have put so much out there for fans that have been longtime fans and new fans to find.
Yep.
You know, it is preserving his legacy for future generations, which is really important as well.
Yeah. I got a great job. You know, I get to wear cowboy boots to work every day.
Gary. Me too.
Yeah,
we sure have enjoyed you being with us, Carla, and we just wish you and Maxine Hansen, also at Autry Entertainment, the most blessed of holiday seasons.
Oh, well, thank you. Very Merry Christmas to you and to all of the listeners. I hope your season is full of wonderful Gene Autry Christmas music.
Well, Carla, thank you so much for being with us. You truly have taken us back as we've traveled to a simpler time as we celebrate Christmas traditions today on the Campfire Cafe. And we don't want anyone to leave because we've got more great music from Gene, and we're going to be visiting with Bobby in just a moment as well. But Carla, thanks again for being with us, and we're going to close out this little segment with An Old-Fashioned Tree by Gene Autry.
Wonderful.
Carla, thanks
so
much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I remember an old-fashioned tree trimmed with tinsel that shone in candlelight. In the window where neighbors all could see how we kept our Christmas merry and bright. I loved the evening we trimmed the tree, and then we'd all sing carols and pledge goodwill toward men. Every year it's just an old-fashioned tree that brings all the joy of Christmas to me. Starlight shining on the snow, wishing star of Christmas night. Star bright, brought so long ago, my childhood first delight.
I remember an old-fashioned tree trimmed with tinsel that shone in candlelight. In the window where neighbors all could see how we kept our Christmas merry.
I loved the evening we trimmed the tree, and then we'd all sing carols and pledge goodwill toward men. Every year it's just an old-fashioned tree that brings all the joy of Christmas to me.
Thank you very, very much, folks.
Well, this has been a special show, Bobby. This has been very nostalgic, going back and experiencing Christmases as they used to be. Some before you and I can even remember.
That's true. That's
and,
true.
And we don't want folks to leave, because we still have, and this is going to be great, we're going to close the show just like Gene would have closed it. As a matter of fact, we're going to let him close it for us today. But still to come, we have his recitation of "'Twas the Night Before Christmas" and then "Silent Night." But anyway, it's been a great show, and thanks to you for even suggesting this. So we appreciate mm-hmm. you mentioning Carla and this CD.
Well, you know, there is wonderful holiday music from this time period, and it's just great to have a chance to hear Gene on the radio. Oh my gosh, it's wonderful.
Well, this has been so cool, and people are certainly going to want to get Gene Autry a Melody Ranch Christmas, and visit the website. GeneAutry.com. So that's going to be easy for you to find and enjoy a lot of great information about America's favorite cowboy as well. But you know, we're not through with December. We have a lot of Christmas traditions to carry on as we continue on throughout the month of December. And we have a special guest joining us next week. Who will that be?
Next week, we have our good friend Clint Bradley, who will be calling in from England. And so we'll get to hear a little bit about traditions there and his family, and that should be a lot of fun. And then on December 22nd, we have Joni Harms, who has in her family's world, they own a Christmas tree farm. So we'll be talking to Joni about special family traditions. That's on December 22nd, and listening to music from her Christmas CD. And then we end our year ringing out the old and ringing in the new with Mickey Daniel. So much fun. Just named the Western Music Association's Female Performer of the Year. And we'll close our year out with Mickey on the 29th.
Well, it's going to be a fun next couple of Thursdays as we go on through December. And, of course, we've got some special shows coming up with Belinda Gale on Blessed Trails, Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Sunday mornings. And those shows start at 9 o'clock, so you'll want to make sure and catch all of those. But it's been a fun, fun show. And as I said, we still have some more music from Gene, a couple more numbers that we're going to close the show with. Bobby, you got all your Christmas shopping done?
Oh, pretty much. The big thing is getting it shipped.
All right.
Shopping's done. Shipping is another. That's what I'll be working with this afternoon.
All right. For our listeners out there that haven't done theirs and haven't finished, they can visit the great sponsors like Out West, and you'll find all of those in the general store. Plenty of time to get your Christmas shopping in still, and you'll find those businesses on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. Well, Bobby, it's been fun. Great to have you with us today. We look forward to next week when we talk with Clint Bradley. And this is a special, special way to close the show out today. And let's take a listen to Gene's "'Twas the Night Before Christmas" and then his beautiful rendition of "Silent Night." Bobby, we'll see you next week on the Campfire Cafe. Have a great week.
Have a blessed week. Talk to you then.
Talk to you then.
'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that old Santa Claus soon would be there. I held little Susan all snug on my lap, while all of the cowboys were taking a nap. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a little red sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer, with a funny old driver, so lively and quick. Well, I knew in a minute it must be Saint Nick. Up to the ranch house his reindeer they flew, with a sleigh full of toys and Saint Nicholas too. And then as I listened, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. You were fast sleeping, so I scarce turned around. Then straight down our chimney, he came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and the clothes were all covered with ashes and soot. He had a kind face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. Why, he was even more chubby than Smiley Burnett. Such a fat little man I never have met. He spoke not a word, but went straight to work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk. And laying his finger side of his nose, he gave a big nod. Up our chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him cry out as he drove out of sight, "Merry Christmas to all, and to all, good night."
Silent night, holy night, all is gone, all is bright, round yon
Merry Christmas, everybody.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.